The clerical abuse crisis has touched all of the priesthood, scarring many priests profoundly as they in some way assume the sins of those who fail to live Christ's ministry with honesty and integrity.
There are also, sad to say, situations which can never be sufficiently deplored, where the Church herself suffers as a consequence of infidelity on the part of some of her ministers. Then it is the world which finds grounds for scandal and rejection. What is most helpful to the Church in such cases is not only a frank and complete acknowledgement of the weaknesses of her ministers, but also a joyful and renewed realization of the greatness of God's gift, embodied in the splendid example of generous pastors, religious afire with love for God and for souls, and insightful, patient, spiritual guides.
Pope Benedict said he shared the great suffering of religious over the grave immorality of some clergy during his pastoral visit to the United States in the spring of 2008.
Many of you have spoken to me of the enormous pain that your communities...
Many of you have spoken to me of the enormous pain that your communities have suffered when clerics have betrayed their priestly obligations and duties by such gravely immoral behavior.
It certainly mustn't be easy to be a priest these days, but little did I realize how deeply some priests have internalized the shame brought upon them. Jesuit Father Matthew Gamber of Chicago spent some time with us here at Vatican Radio. I asked him to share with me his personal feelings about the crisis and what it means for other good priests. I wasn't really quite prepared for tears.
The first thing that always comes to my mind whenever this topic even comes up is absolute anguish for those who have suffered at the hands of priests. And they're the first, foremost, and ultimately the only thing that matters here. And so anything and everything that can be done for them, I extend my sympathies, my sorrow, and I've attempted wherever I've been to try to be of assistance to them and to be a source of healing and strength and reconciliation. So to each and every person, man, woman, or child who has ever suffered at the hands of a priest, I join the Holy Father in expressing my heartfelt sorrow and anguish and a desire to make things right, even though it seems very, very difficult. So first and foremost are the victims. The Holy Father, I believe, tried to express that as well. And so we start with them, and really, as I said, we end with them, and everything should be for their benefit. And as the Holy Father said, and in an attempt to maybe protect the Church or to act in the right way, those who had to respond to these have actually harmed the situation and harmed the Church and have not really helped victims. So I think we're doing a good examination of conscience right now of what has transpired, clarifying what has transpired, how the reaction has been so far, and then to say, how can we improve that? That's what I hear the Holy Father trying to do.
Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do, it seems, is also look at the problem in a juridical way, not just within the Church, but priests who have committed these crimes will have to face civil justice as well.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I think is a legitimate concern is, had these early cases been brought to the civil authorities and been prosecuted, you know, law has a preventative effect. It sets the tone. It sets the example. So if nothing is ever done, no one ever thinks anything ever happens in these regards, this is all handled outside the realm of the public venue of the courts and the police, then it's as if it doesn't happen. Whereas if when you do make these cases, for all of us, we know, you know, obeying the law or disobeying the law, there's consequences. So I think we have to, you know, say that could have been very, actually very, very helpful and can be very helpful for us now. And I think to really, I think the Holy Father has said, you know, full and complete cooperation with all the civil authorities who have the right of, you know, protecting the dignity and the rights of their population. And so the church always wants to be on the side of the law. We're not lawbreakers. You know, we support civil society, and especially when it touches on our personal behavior as well. We have to be accountable.
At Holy Thursday's Mass for the Last Supper, Pope Benedict said, Jesus, in his prayer after washing the feet of the apostles, challenges us to a constant examination of conscience. At this hour, the Lord is asking us, are you living through faith in fellowship with me and thus in fellowship with God? Or, the Pope said, are you living for yourself and thus apart from faith? As we meditate on the Passion of the Lord, let us also feel Jesus' pain, the Pope said, at the way that we contradict his prayer, that we resist his love.
He obviously holds the priest to the highest possible standards because they truly are representing Jesus Christ. And that's been the consistent teaching of the church. There's no one more beautiful to represent, no one more powerful to represent, no one more loving, but no one more challenging as well. And so if you are not up for this, you know, as a young man considering the priesthood, you know, you do not feel called to this, you know, by no means assume these responsibilities. If you ever assume these responsibilities, do everything that you can to ensure that your witness is solid and strong and consistent in every venue of your life. So I think he's always calling us back to the foundational aspects of all of our vocation, married, single, lady, clergy, sisters, everyone, who are you? And therefore, how are you expected to respond in light of that? So back to the basics, I think. And if we get that right, I think a lot of these, we won't be seeing these again.
Speaking of the basics start in the seminary. And what do you think needs to be done that hasn't been done so far to ensure that the people who have these tendencies do not even get into the seminary?
Right. There has been, you know, since I joined the seminary, you know, a few decades ago, there was very thorough psychological evaluations. There's a big trust in the psychological community, but it probably has to go beyond that as well. You know, people of great judgment and great insight into what makes for a good priest, and those can be lay people as well as priests and bishops, probably should have some say in what goes on. I think for a seminarian, one of the things as I think and pray about this, I have a lot of brothers and sisters and they have a lot of children, and I realize how much they love their children so much, and they're so precious to them. Nothing is more important to them. And do priests have a sense of that? How precious these children are, and what parents do every minute of every day to protect them, to nurture them, to strengthen them, and to do anything to harm that, it just breaks my heart. And so I think helping seminarians, though they will not be fathers, to have that deep internal appreciation for what parenthood is, for what motherhood and what fatherhood really is, and that as a priest, you're there to assist in that and to help in that and to foster that. And you're privileged to be brought into that. You become very close to families. But to know the sacred nature of that bond and what any transgression of it might mean for a child or a parent, it will prevent you from doing anything, I think, to ever do anything to a child that would be harmful.
And I see you're very emotional about this. It obviously means a lot to you. You want to protect those children, your brothers and sisters' children, and any, indeed, any child out there, so any innocent life, from what the Pope himself has called filth.
I think we are given a lot of graces, and the best place to receive them is in the sacraments and in a really serious prayer life. You cannot be having a regular prayer life, regular conversation and contact with Almighty loving God, and then turn around and do harmful, horrible, difficult things. I think really they're doing so much investigating of priests and that were in these situations. I would love to really talk to them about their prayer life. And I think you'd say, you'd find it had dried up. They were not praying. Mm-hmm. And they had cut themselves off from a lot of graces that would help them to have avoided these situations. So just become as one of a prayer warrior. Just really live a life of intense prayer with God.
What good can we get out of this horrible, tragic story?
Mm-hmm. I really believe God is present to these people and to the church. He is suffering with us, compassion to suffer with, and that we're being called to even a deeper humility and a deeper service in every aspect of our life as the church and as priests, and to relinquish any and all kind of claims of power, privilege, and it will make us more Christ-like and ultimately more effective toward the world. So let's not lose this opportunity to become more truly who we're supposed to be.